Blog Talk Radio.
Mighty Grill, put your hands together.
Lord, yes, you are once again in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, I have good news for you all on tonight. God is really blessing this worldwide ministry platform. I am so excited about what he is doing through this worldwide platform for his glory. So that's why I'm asking all the listeners, especially for the first-time listeners, please get your Bibles, get your pens, get your paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God on tonight. Minister Sharon Rambis will be bringing forth God's word on tonight. So you want to make sure you have your pens and paper ready to follow along with him as we go through God's word together on tonight. Minister Rambis is also a member of Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church, while I am also a member. Bishop James A. Jennings is our bishop and shepherd at Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church. I want to give a shout out to him and our church family right now. But if we always open up with prayer. I'm asking all listeners, please pray with me at this time because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. It is in his name we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because we know, without a doubt, even though we go through trials and tribulations, we know that you're still worthy to be praised. We, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you will move by your Spirit, touch and console all those and strengthen all those that are being affected by the Hurricane Dorian over in the Caribbean and the Carolinas, all over the land. Heavenly Father, those that are being affected by Hurricane Dorian on tonight, We know that you are able to save. So we ask that you will continue to move by your spirit, comfort and strengthen those that have lost loved ones in this hurricane. Heavenly Father, not only them, but continue to comfort and strengthen all that have lost loved ones that are in the hour of bereavement all over the land. Let them remember and know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come also lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can, in the name of Jesus, because we know that you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders for your glory. Heavenly Father, I thank you personally for allowing my brother to be able to come home from the hospital. But I also thank you, Lord, that while he was in the hospital before the day before he was to be released, his he was dealing with his diabetes, and his diabetes had went up so high that they said that he would have died if he had been at home. So I thank you that he was even in the hospital where they can take care of the situation while he was in the hospital. So he is now at home. I just give you glory, honor, and praise, and not only for him, but for my twin sister who's dealing with issues as well, that she's at home now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Heavenly Father, not only for my family, but all families that are dealing with sickness in their families. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen them, because we know that you are our healer, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your spirit over this airway on tonight. Should there be any listener that's not saved on tonight, it's our prayer and hope and desire that something will be said through your man of God on tonight, that they will be able to open their own mouths and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. We would ask them to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight, because we know that you're still saving today. You're still working miracles, signs, and wonders. Heavenly Father, we just love you on tonight. We bless your name. We pray, Lord, that you would just help us to decrease on tonight so that you would increase in us, that you would be glorified. Continue to bless each listener, that you would have your way in their lives and grant them the desires of their hearts is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Tonight's scripture, Food for Thought, comes to us saying, the biggest communication problem is most people do not listen to understand. They listen to reply. Once again, tonight's scripture is food for thought. The biggest communication problem in most people, they do not listen to understand. They listen to reply. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassador vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. I have two quick announcements that I'm going to make before we bring forth Minister Rambis to bring forth God's word. And I pray that you have your pencils and paper, especially for the new listeners, because God has opened doors, new doors for others to have that bring forth his word through this worldwide ministry and platform. So I pray that you write these down so that you can tune in and be blessed by them as well. And we want to start off with Theologically Speaking. That's Theologically Speaking with host Jose and Daniel Dorsey. That's a husband and wife team. This show airs each and every first and third Thursday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Next, we have Clinically Speaking. This is a woman of God, a psychologist. The host is Sierra Renee. She comes forth every fourth Thursday and every first Saturday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Next, we have Ministry I'm Possible with host Minister Saran Rambis, who is also going to be bringing the word on tonight. He has a show up under this direction, up under this worldwide platform. Once again, his show is titled Ministry I'm Possible with host Minister Saran Rambis. He comes forth each and every second Thursday and fourth Saturday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Then we have Pastor Eric Morphis. He is the pastor of Eagle Wings Church, located in Warren, Michigan. He comes forth over this worldwide platform at 8 p.m. each and every second Thursday night. Next, we have Pastor Norman King. He is the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministry, which is located in Greensboro, North Carolina. He is my first cousin. He comes forth over this worldwide platform each and every third and fourth Saturday night at 8 p.m. Finally, we have Deacon Marvin Cox. He always shares with us inspirational poems, and he always brings forth God's word each and every first and second Saturday night over this worldwide platform starting at 8 p.m. So I pray that you have written those down. If you did not write those down, you can always go back to this website and you can always to the archives and listen to tonight's show or any shows that have been done in the past. So all of these shows are kept in archives that anyone can always pull them up and listen to them anytime you feel like it on your mobile phone or on your computers or however you listen to them. And my final announcement is on tonight. I thank God that he has opened another door for me, that he's going to be glorified even more. So I want you to write this down, this information. I have a new website. This is not including the website for this show. This is a different website. My website, you want to go to and check out, go to www.jamesbrown1558.wixsite. That's wixsite.com/internet-radio-host. Once again, that website is www.jamesbrown1558.wixsite. That's wixsite.com/internet-radio-host. Those are my announcements for tonight. I'm going to do a real quick, short music break before I bring forth Minister Rambis to bring forth God's word. Pray that, again, that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to go into God's word together with him on tonight. We're going to enjoy this music break together. I give you praise. And once Minister Rambis has concluded with his message for tonight, I'm going to ask all listeners if you will please stay on the line because he's going to do a closing song after his message. And the song is "He Saw the Best in Me" by Bishop Marvin Sapp. So right now we're going to enjoy this music break. I give you praise. And following the music break, I'm going to come back and yield the mic to Minister Rambis to deliver God's word. Enjoy the music break.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I give you praise. Why? Because you're worthy to be praised. There is none like him in the earth. So we just bless his name on tonight. So right now, I yield the mic to Minister Sharon Rambert.
Amen. Bless you. And praise the Lord, everybody. Thank God for another opportunity to gather today to be strengthened by the word of God. Thank God for Brother James for this preaching opportunity and for God expanding your territory. And so, it used to be a saying that serving the Lord will pay off after a while, but Brother James, I know your testimony is serving the Lord is paying off right now. And I'm a witness to that. Thank God for that. And so, there is a word from the Lord tonight, and it's found in Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 36 through 50. Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 36 through 50. I'll be reading from the NIV version. And it reads, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and
why won't the baseball?
Praise the Lord, Minister Rembers. Listen, audience, I apologize. I'm thinking that Minister Rambis is picking up his children.
So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Verse 43 says, Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Verse 50, Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The flower fades and the grass may wither, but the word of God will stand forever. Amen. And for a few moments that we have tonight, I'd like to talk from the subject, he saw the best in me. First, let me start off by telling you, just in case you didn't know, that you are valuable to God. Despite what others may think about you, what others may say about you, even despite what you think about yourself, He sees the best in you. No matter what you've done or where you've been, he still gave the best he had for you. God sent his son, Jesus, to die for you and not just the holy rollers. Although there may be those around you who will act as if they are unique and special to him, and that he only died and he only loves them, but in God's eye, we are all equally important. God sees great things in you, and he knows full well what you are capable of. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it is written, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And so when God looks at you, he sees the best in you. He sees what others don't see or refuse to see in you. Bishop Marvin Sapp's song says, "He saw the best in me." When everyone else around me could only see the worst in you, he's mine and I'm his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am. And so in our text for tonight, we meet a woman who was looked down upon by the people that was around her. She was labeled a sinner. And as a result, she was well acquainted with rejection. What have people labeled you with? Divorce, having a baby out of wedlock, overweight, undereducated. Even got the nerve to say, "You're too nice and you're always smiling." Any of these things sound familiar? Many people live in bondage to feelings of rejection and don't even realize it. It causes us to believe lies about ourselves and project hurtful emotions on others. It also affects our relationship with God. I know from experience that rejection hurts. And I prayed about it. I thought maybe God would answer me quickly and I would know just what to do about it. But God's answers would not come in my time. But God always sends the answer in his time. However, the Bible tells me that Jesus himself also experienced rejection. And as a result, he didn't question who he was. He didn't defend himself. He didn't deny the hurt that he experienced. Yes, he experienced some personal pain, but he went right on to the next village, spreading God's love. I'd like to submit some steps we can take so that we can realize that God views us differently from those around us. In our text, this woman approached Jesus in an open setting, a banquet. And it appears that even though people may have thought negatively about her, in Jesus, she realized that she was loved. And she learned how not to care about what they thought. And so that brings me to my first point. You have to care less of what others think of you. And I know that some might disagree, but give me time to explain. Yes, you should be concerned about your reputation. But when people lie on you and people criticize you falsely, when they disrespect you, this should be something that should not take up space in your mind. You should not even give resonance to it. When we are concerned about the negativity coming from other people, we need to do several things to overcome this. We should first stop overthinking it. Although this may sound a bit harsh and a bit simplistic, but most of the time when we think we are being judged, when we think we're being talked about, we probably not. It's just too hard to judge a single person, every person you meet, analyzing their flaws and imperfections like they're a test and you're trying to grade it. I know this because I was once obsessed about what others thought about me. Until I realized that it is only what God thinks of me that counts. And if I try to live the life he expects me to live, what others think is not really important. We need to place all things into proper perspective. Sometimes when we obsess about what others think, we tend to put issues under the microscope and can't see the forest for the trees. We need to look at the big picture. We only got one life to live. And so, are we going to allow people's thoughts to make it less enjoyable? Are we going to let someone's opinion occupy our mind and dictate our actions? In our text, we see this woman. She could enter into this banquet, this dinner, and although certainly not welcome, not wanted, not cared about, she could not be stopped from being there. It is because I believe that when your eyes are truly focused on Jesus, all the criticism, mean and nasty words, all the comments, critical comments, your player haters and evil stares, all that just simply disappear. When you are truly focused on Jesus, you become more confident in yourself. And that's my second point. You have to be confident in yourself. I once heard one of our ministers from way back, Reverend Rita Glover, say, "It makes no difference what you think of me, but it does make a difference of what I think of you." And it stuck with me because I believe that this is a good rule to go by. I cannot control somebody else's thoughts, nor do I want to. But if you think ugly thoughts about someone else, that's strictly between you and God. But we need to have confidence. We need to have confidence in ourselves. But we have to be careful not to cross the line over into arrogance. But to the point where we believe that Philippians 4 and 13 can come alive in our lives. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And so if we to have confidence in anybody, it should start with God and ourselves. What I want to tell you this evening is that we really won't be able to have faith in God if we don't believe in ourselves. There's tremendous power that occurs when we combine believing in God with believing in ourselves, because in this earth realm, God depends on us to carry out his purpose and his plan. And so we have to believe, first of all, that God cares, that God loves us, and then that God has chosen us for the task. And if you believe all of that, you can't help but to believe that he has equipped you also. And so I believe that it is in this power that faith is ignited. It is in this power that faith moves. Because if you're not careful, people will try to place you in a box and even expect you to follow their definition of who you are. They'll try to dictate what you should do and where you should go and how you should act. But if we look at the woman in our text, she is a known sinner. Ain't that funny how people try to label you like you can't change, like you're stuck? They try to keep you limited to your past. But I'm so glad that God has gave us a bright future. God has offered forgiveness. God has wiped the slate clean. Thank you, Lord. But most people, just like this woman, they think that because of your past, that you don't have a future. Just like this woman, maybe you've done some things in your past. Maybe you don't have a good reputation. And just like Simon the Pharisee, just like he written off this woman as being no good, hopeless, unworthy of any consideration, or unworthy of any compassion. Maybe that's the place you are at tonight. But however, you must be bold in your quest to get to Jesus, just like this woman. She eventually overcame all of that and faced the reality of her sin. She came to the reality of just how much Jesus had forgiven her. Have you ever thought where you would be if Jesus had not saved you? If Jesus has not forgave you, where would you be? And my third and final point comes to this very point. You have to acknowledge your sins. The reality of sin in our life, to think about it, is uncomfortable and sometimes even painful. It's painful to look back at some of the things we've done and some of the actions we've taken, some of the words we spoke. It's often painful to think about it. But it's important to realize that reflecting on our sinfulness is not about feeling guilty. It's not about self-condemnation. But it can certainly make us depressed. But it's not about making us feel that way, or even making us feel bad or down. Because sometimes you can get in that place when you really think about how many times you came up short. How many times you missed the mark? How many times you did that thing that you promised that you wouldn't do again? But you found yourself doing that very thing. Yes, you can get depressed and you can get down. But even though you might not be proud of your past, it is important to be able to be honest with yourself and with God. But we have to realize that God does not just love us when we are at our best. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's love.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
For sure, man will ostracize you, reject you, and criticize you. And often it does not come from outside the walls of the church. Often it comes from the very house of God. But Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Notice it does not say to totally ignore anyone or treat them less than, or even treat them as a leper, like they can't be touched, and that they simply have no hope. Treat them as if they should go find membership in some other church. But when you become aware of your sinful life and your sinful nature, please don't do what so many others do. Many fall into that state of woe is me. And so they simply go on living in sin because they believe that God could not possibly forgive them for the things that they've done. They simply don't believe that God's arms is not long enough to reach out and grab them and cradle them. And that God's heart is not big enough to still love them and offer them forgiveness. But instead, when we find ourselves falling short, we should do as David did. This is what David did in Psalm 51:1-3. Look at what he prays. He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. And see, we, like David, yeah, we messed up. But when we mess up, we have to fess up. We have to confess. Because God is all-knowing. He knows the things you've done anyway. And so like David, we have to be truly sorry for our transgressions against God. And as we read the story of David's life, we discover that sin and David was well acquainted. David was indeed guilty of many sins. But God did forgive David. But a lot of times we think that forgiveness eradicates consequences. But I don't want to talk about David, but I'm here to talk about God's love and forgiveness. So in Acts 13 and 22, even David in his messed up, jacked up choices, his mistakes and his mess and his bad judgment, God still testifies on his behalf. Acts 13 and 22 says, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And so how can you say David is a man after God's own? How can God himself say David is a man after his own heart? The many times he blew it, the many times that he missed the mark. But the one thing that David always sought, he always sought to repair the breach. He always sought to confess and to repair the relationship with God. And so I believe that that's why God says that David was a man after his own heart, because David was after the heart of God. He didn't get stuck in his mess. He didn't waddle and have pity parties for himself. He sought the heart of God, and he knew that the heart of God, there was love, there was mercy, there was grace. And so that's the message for someone tonight. No matter how many times you find yourself in a bad place, those bad decisions should be followed by repentance. And so this woman was overwhelmed by the greatness of her sin, and also the greatness of her forgiveness. She began to cry, and the tears fell on the feet of Jesus. And so that's a message for us tonight. So whatever you're dealing with and whatever you're going through, no matter what you've done and no matter where you've been, place it at the feet of Jesus. Even though you might have some that criticize you, ostracize you, try to dog you out, try to downplay you. They might treat you as Simon tried to treat this woman. He saw her as a prostitute, a woman of the night, someone who he thought was not worthy, a sinner. But my Bible tells me that all have sinned.
Yes,
and falling short of the glory of God. So we all need to be at the feet of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
But I wonder how many Simon Pharisees are occupying pews in our churches today.
Mm-hmm.
Could we possibly be Simon the Pharisees? Are we turning people away who we think is not good enough? They don't measure up to our stick. They're not a good fit for our church or for our ministry. And are we interviewing and evaluating who can and who should be a member of our congregation? But in verse 40, Jesus tells Simon that he has something to say. Jesus teaches him the parable of the creditors and the debtors. He tells Simon that he knows that this woman is a sinner. And so don't matter when people try to throw up your past in your face, Jesus already knows. But most importantly, just like this woman, you tell him that you've been forgiven. Jesus forgave this woman because he saw the best in her. When everyone else around her could only see the worst in her. Just like this woman, no matter what others may call you, no matter what others may think about you, Jesus sees the best in you.
Yes, Lord.
So don't worry about the opinions of others. Have confidence in yourself and acknowledge your sins.
Mm-hmm.
I declare to you today that Jesus, he sees the best in you. How can you be sure, preacher? How do you know? Because one Friday, God gave the best he had.
Yes, sir.
God gave his only begotten son, Jesus. And then Jesus turned around and gave the very best he had. Jesus gave his life on an old rugged cross to save a wretch like you and me.
Yes, Lord. Jesus.
They pierced him in the side. They hung him high, and he died, and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And early Sunday morning, God raised Jesus up from the grave with all power in his hand. You might ask, why did he do it? He did it because he saw the best in you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
He did it because he traded. He took upon our sins and traded it for his righteousness so that we might be called the righteousness of God. So don't let no one keep you locked in your past. Don't let no one keep throwing your past in your face. Don't let nobody tell you that you're not good enough. Because it matter, don't matter what they think of you. It only matter what God thinks. And he said that you're the head and not the tail. He said that you're above and not beneath. I come to encourage you this evening that God, even through your mess and through your bad decisions and poor judgment, he loves you.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
He created you. Everything God created, he said in his own word, he said it's good. Even though it might not feel good, it might not look good, but his promise is that it's going to work for your good. So be encouraged, my brother and my sister. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, God always sees the best in you. God bless you and keep you is my prayer.
I'm
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank God for that song, and I can be a witness on tonight that Jesus and God sees and he knows what's best in you. He knows what's best in me because I am a living testimony. I have been through some things in my life that I have never shared with anyone, but I give you an example of the listening audience because I have been told even from a young age, from around the age of 6, and God has blessed me to be now 61. But I have been told from the age of 6 years old, from people in my family, you are nothing, you're never going to be nothing. I have had people spit in my face. I even growing up as a teenager, I've had people spit in my face. I've had people lie on me. They know they was lying. And I've had people, I've even had one, even at the age of 17, letting them shoot me and blow my brains out inside the church. But after church service, I have went through that. And I have went through so much more that I'm not even able to share on the broadcast on tonight. But I am a witness. No matter what people say about you, no matter what they try to do to you, or no matter what they do, you got to remember God's word. He sees the best in you. He sees the best in me. I would not be where I am today in the Lord had I remembered or thought and contemplated on what people said about me. It's all about what do God see about you? What do Jesus see in you? What do God see in you? What do you see in yourself? So I thank God this is an on-time word for tonight. And I know that it has been a blessing to someone. It has been a blessing to me. So I just want to say thank you, Minister Rambis, for bringing forth another powerful word, a much-needed word for such a time as this, because so many people are going through turmoils today. So many people are dealing with depression, PTSD orders, and they are so many are considering suicide. We have so much bullying going on in the world. And all of these things of the enemy, God has nothing to do with that. So we got to remember God's word. So we got to remember whose report are you going to believe? Do you believe that God loves you and he loves you more than you even love yourself? So I thank God for this word that I have been through some things in my life. And I know others that are listening, you have been through some things as well, especially if you are born again Christian trying to be a doer of God's word. You have been through some things also. So you have to remember, I have to remember also myself. And we have to get to a place that we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We have to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And then we need to learn how to encourage one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to start encouraging each other more in the Lord. And let us know and remember how to stand on God's word. And remember, what do God think about you? You got to know, without a shadow of a doubt, that God loves you. If he have an assignment on your life, and when he have an assignment and a purpose for our lives, we know that the enemy is always going to come. We never know how or who he's going to come through, but he always comes through people. Just like God uses people, that's how the enemy comes. So when we are persecuted by the enemy through people, we have to look around the people and ask God to forgive them, the people, because that's who's using them is the enemy, Satan. So we have to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord, and we got to remember that Jesus and God, they see the best in you. They see the best in me. So we thank God for this word on tonight. Thank you, Minister Rambis. Continue to stand on God's word. We're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Please pray with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us, because we know that we are not worthy. We don't deserve it. We thank you for your love, your great love that's above love that man can give. We thank you for the most precious gift of love through your son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. So now, Lord, we pray that this word has gone forth, and now we pray that it has not gone forth in vain. We pray that it has been a blessing to each listener. We give you the glory, honor, and praise, and we ask that you continue to cover us in the blood of Jesus, that we will be able to continue to do what you have called for each one of us to do individually, then as a corporate body of believers in Jesus Christ. We love you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in. I ask that you will continue to spread the news about this worldwide ministry so that others can tune in and be blessed by the word of God. Until the next time, you want to tune in on this coming Saturday. Deacon Marvin Cox will be bringing forth God's word. He always shares with us inspirational points first. Then he deliver God's word on this coming Saturday, 8:00 p.m. It's the time of the show starts at 8 p.m. So tune in on this Saturday and be blessed by another word from the Lord. Until the next time, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Good night.
Cover me, Lord, with
Hallelujah.